Okay, stop. Stop whatever you're doing. I'm standing on the ramp at Whitman Field, and I want you to close your eyes for 1 second and imagine it. You're on a gravel bar, a real one, the kind you find bending along a river in the Idaho backcountry where the water's running cold over the stones and the pines climb up on both sides, and the only way in is by airplane. Now open your eyes because that gravel bar is here at Oshkosh in Wisconsin. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check, and today we are getting our tires dirty because tucked into this show, in among the vintage rows and the warbirds and the endless silver rivers of aluminum, there's a patch of ground built to look and feel like a backcountry landing strip. Tens, camp chairs, a tundra tire dragger sitting right there like it just floated down out of the mountains, and the people gathered around it are some of the best storytellers on the entire field. Let me take you there. But first, real quick, because these folks helped me bring you out onto the ramp. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, and speaking of stories, the banner over this little corner of paradise says Recreational Aviation Foundation, the RAF. And if you have never heard of them, lean in because this is one of the most important groups in aviation that most pilots have never heard of. Here's what they do. All across this country, there are landing strips out in the wild, grass, gravel, dirt, little strips carved into national forests, tucked beside rivers, sitting up on ridgelines. Some of them have been there for 80, 90 years. Places with names that sound like poetry to a pilot, and one by one, quietly, a lot of them have been closing, getting plowed under, getting locked up, getting forgotten. The RAF exists to fight that, to keep those strips open, to preserve them, protect them, and in some cases, literally rebuild them so that you and I can still fly in and pitch a tent and wake up to elk on the far bank. I'm not kidding when I say this is holy ground for a certain kind of pilot. And the guy I'm talking to right now, he's got gray in his beard and dirt under his fingernails, and he's been volunteering with these folks for years. I asked him why. Why give up your vacation to stand on a fake gravel bar in Wisconsin and talk to strangers all day? And he just kind of smiled and said, because somebody kept these strips open for me, so I keep them open for the next guy. Come on, that's the whole thing right there. That's aviation. Now let's talk about the airplane parked in the middle of all this, because you have to see it. It's a backcountry tail dragger, and everything about it is built for one purpose, to put down on ground that would make a normal airplane cry. Look at those tires, tundra tires, big fat balloon things, soft and squishy and taller than a toddler. They soak up the rocks, they roll over the ruts, and the whole airplane sits up high on its gear, like it's standing on its tiptoes, ready to pounce. Long travel landing gear, springy, built to absorb a firm arrival onto uneven ground. And the wings, look up at the wings, slats on the leading edge, big flaps hanging down on the back. This thing is built to fly slow. Really slow, because in the backcountry, slow is everything. Slow means you can drop into a short strip. Slow means you can clear the trees and still get stopped before the river. Over at the RAF tent, they're not just showing off the machine, they're teaching. There's a whole culture here about how you do this safely, because flying into the backcountry is not a stunt, it's a discipline. They'll talk your ear off about density, altitude, and they should, because up in the mountains on a hot afternoon, the air gets thin and your airplane forgets how to climb. That runway that was plenty long in the cool of the morning becomes a trap by 2 in the afternoon. The mountains do not care how many hours are in your logbook. They'll teach you about the one-way strip. Strips where you land uphill in one direction no matter which way the wind's blowing. And you take off downhill going out because there's a mountain at one end and there's no going around. You commit, you land, there's no go around on a lot of these strips, and that changes everything about how you fly the approach. They talk about walking the strip before you use it, about checking for soft spots and rocks and critters, about leaving it better than you found it. Pack it in, pack it out. Fill in the ruts your tires made, because the reason these strips stay open is that pilots take care of them and take care of the land and take care of the relationship with the people who let us use it. There's a family standing next to me right now, mom, dad, two kids, and the little girl, maybe 7 years old. She's got her hand up on one of those giant tundra tires, and she's just staring up at this airplane like it's a dinosaur. And the dad's telling her about a trip they took flying into a strip up in the mountains and camping by the airplane, and how they saw a moose at the edge of the trees at sunset. And I'm watching that kid's face and I'm thinking, that's it. That's how it passes on. One kid, one tundra tire, one story about a moose. The RAF works hand in hand with the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management and state agencies and private landowners. It is slow, patient, unglamorous work, paperwork meetings, trail days where volunteers show up with shovels and rakes and fill in the potholes by hand. They've helped save strips that were days away from being closed for good. They've built brand new ones. They maintain a whole network of these places, and they publish guides so you know how to fly them right. And it all comes back to a simple idea that the freedom to fly your own airplane out into the wild and land on a gravel bar and camp under the stars, that freedom is worth protecting, that it can disappear if nobody fights for it, and that a handful of pilots with shovels and stubbornness can keep it alive. I love this corner of the show, I really do, in the middle of all the jet noise and the crowds and the vendors. Here's this quiet little patch of gravel that reminds you what a lot of us fell in love with in the first place. Not the speed, not the glass panels, just an airplane, a wild place, and the sky in between. So if you're walking the grounds this week, find the RAF, find the gravel bar, shake a volunteer's hand, ask them where they'd fly you if they could take you anywhere. Then go put a backcountry trip on your someday list. My thanks to the volunteers and staff at the Recreational Aviation Foundation for the time and the stories out here on the grounds today. You can find more from us over at RadioHanger.com. I'm Ramp. Keep your tires soft and your someday list long, and go find that gravel bar before somebody paves it over.